Welcome to the Making Waves at Sea Level podcast with your host, Tom Singer. In each episode, we will explore the interesting stories of business executives, entrepreneurs, and industry leaders who are shaking things up and growing their companies. It is time to make some waves. Now here's your host, Tom Singer.
This is Making Waves at Sea Level, the podcast for those who shake things up in business and are focused on growth and success. This episode is produced in partnership with the Austin Technology Council. The ATC is a 30-year-old association that is focused on promoting and facilitating the growth of technology companies in Central Texas. Over the past three decades, the business ecosystem in Austin has changed, and the Austin Technology Council is actively changing too. To learn more, visit austintechnologycouncil.org. My name is Tom Singer, and I have been hosting this podcast for 8 years and over 740 episodes. I am also the new CEO at the Austin Technology Council. And while my podcast, this one, isn't really focused just on Austin, over the last few months and in the future, we are using this to interview some of the members of ATC to find out what's happening in Austin and how can people everywhere learn from the great things that happen here in Central Texas. And just to plant a little seed, coming in late November, the Austin Technology Council is going to be releasing its own podcast, Austin Tech Connect. So be sure to be on the lookout for that show because it's going to be something you don't want to miss. Well, today I am happy to invite to this podcast Madhu Basu. Now, he is the CEO and founder of Unanu, and this is a company that is focused on the future of search. Let's face it, we've been using Google for a long time and all the other search that's out there, but when you go to search for something, are you actively finding everything you need? Well, Madhu would say, maybe we're not, and we can do a better job. He is a technology executive who has two companies, one that's been around for about 16 years. The second one has been around about 4 years, and that's Unanu that we're going to talk a little bit about. And he works to help solve B2B search and how do we get people to find the right data. He's originally from India, but he has lived here in Central Texas for 23 years. Hey, Madhu, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Great seeing you, and congratulations being at ATC.
Thank you. It's been an interesting transition. We have a lot of things to do, and we're a 30-year-old organization, and in a way, we're starting over. We're kind of a startup because we're looking to the next 10 years, heck, the next 30 years of what's going to happen around here in Austin. So let's start off by talking about Unanu. So tell me a little bit more about the company.
Unanu is a technology startup in Austin, started in 2017. We are primarily took my other business as a problem. How do I map a candidate to a job description? It's basically a search mapping. We use the old school Boolean, Elastic, you name it, index, right? It's a combination of index and Boolean. It's called nowadays called Elastic Search. But I think we have missed contextual analysis behind a job description and contextual analysis behind a resume. These are the two components we have. We have allowed human to read and understand. Remember, these two different personas. One is a recruiting or hiring manager. Another one is a candidate by itself. So you're trying to collide two personas together to be a matchmaking. Remember, when you do two people, a lot of politics comes into the picture, bias, everything. So you got to bring a proper search in the get-go so you can do a right mapping. Then you allow them to proceed a human connection from there. I see a starting point is a search broke down. So we have to fix through, we have called a contextual weighted keyword search. We have got patented it. We got one patent approved, one is pending, and we are ready to change how the search has to be figured out in the world to be more qualitative search.
So right now, who are your customers? What type of companies are you working with?
We are, we implemented this technology into a hiring platform. We have a Unanu Hire product out there. We have three customers using staffing and recruiting companies. Primarily, we applied ML. It's again AI and ML, artificial intelligence, machine learning. We applied ML for the technology jobs. I'm working on applying into sales marketing jobs as well. So we are one at a time applying this technology where I can make a search real quality mapping between two human beings.
So does this technology just work with recruiting, or is this something that's going to go into all search?
Pretty much wherever you're asking a question, you're looking into data, that's where we apply.
All right. So, you know, this brings up a lot of opportunities, right? I mean, we've been doing search, as I said in the intro, kind of the same way for a long time. Is search broken? I mean, are we kind of stuck in a proverbial Google loop?
I don't say it's broken. I think it is being sold. I think if you go to, by default, we go to the Google to search anything. Did any company ask why I'm not able to show my product in my website, but Google shows it? So pretty much you don't have what Google has. Definitely Google has upper hand in the search. They do contextual analysis, but what they do not do is help the B2B customers or B2C to find the data what we are looking at. They sell the ad, weighted ad money, so the monetization drives the Google search. I think we are in, I agree with the capitalism that is needed, but for a pure businesses, B2B, search has to be genuine to the data mapping. I think it has to stay away from a human involvement. It has to be more data-driven, data elements mapping behind the screens, understanding like a human being. Okay, what I'm looking at, what I got.
So it's interesting you bring up the amount of paid search that sort of comes up when you do a standard sort of Google search. This came up in a conversation I had the other day. Somebody was looking for a professional speaker, and that's something that I've done in my career for a long time. And they were using Google, and they called me and they said that the first six things that came up were all sponsored ads. And she wasn't looking for somebody who paid to show up on the thing. And she couldn't really find what she was looking for in just a standard search. So she had to go back to that human element, and she started calling people she knew who knew the industry, because she was looking for something somewhat specific. And so she just started going back to sort of the old fashioned search, using the telephone and calling influencers. And we just had that conversation this morning. And so it's funny when you say that, you know, there's a lot of pay to play going on in search. So what do you think the future of search is?
Oh, there's so much needs to be changed. I think we are stuck on 21st century still. We call it as Elasticsearch. We're really not really giving a value to the either B2B or B2C, what they're looking at. You're a fine example why I'm seeing ads. Google has to make money somewhere, right? Every business has to make money. But I think now we are in a generation where the money making drives the traffic. Of course, we do put ads to sell our own websites and products and services, but sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes you get frustrated what you're looking at. So there is a two sides of search. One is the paid search. One is the organic search. Probably you may show up in organic search if really Google applies organic contextual search. But they got to run the business. They got to sell the, you know, search. It's like a gambling in the search criteria. So the keywords are gambled to a level where a small company like us can compete with the big guys out there, right? They're mammoths. I mean, I'm in the crowded space. I know I'm hitting the product into crowded space. It's not going to show up in a Google. I was working with my sales marketing guys. Like, where is Unano shows up in regular search? Let's do an AI recruiting software. Where do we show up, really? Pretty much we are showing up on 20th page on Google search. So who is driving this, the rating? One is the ad campaign. Another one is the websites. Who do the backlinks? The SEO is one of the broken pieces too, Tom. I think one of the things there is so much improvement has to be done on SEO is to, I think we are going back to the same minority, and who is minority, who is majority here? I think who has got the money has a majority. Mm-hmm. Who don't have a money is a minority. You cannot do an organic search with a minority in the hand. So the algorithm has to come up at the early stage to value the content, to provide you the right content with a AI and ML-driven, more authentic way. I believe in We want to build a community. How you want to build a community if you can't give me a data what community wants? If you manipulate and give a data to community, your community is disturbed and you get all around. You know, it's like that. Such is the intricate part of what we do in a business. But we want to make sure we give a proper search to B2B or B2C. But I can't compete on the Google level of search, but definitely I'm into B2B search change.
So, you know, it's interesting because you talk about SEO, and that's something that, again, if you're a little business or you're a solopreneur, or again, like, you know, I was talking about people who are professional speakers, you know, a lot of them can't invest thousands and thousands of dollars to have their websites optimized. I spent a lot of time studying how to get more SEO to my own personal website, and also looking at it now for the Austin Technology Council. And part of it is you have to constantly be feeding that with new information and making sure you're doing the things and then getting those backlinks and things like that. But if that's what's driving search, is the right data getting in the hands of the people who are looking for information? So what is your company going to do in the future? What's the future of Unanu, and how are you going to have an impact on all of us?
We are trying to still figure out. We are very early stage. We just launched. I'm into the funding labs with the Founders Institute. Just started a week ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? Yeah, to raise a bunch of money so I can scale it up and figure this out and take it up to the next level. To your question, I think we are in a pivot point in human life of the data out there. You name it, from a documents for the content all the way to videos. You know how much value of data we contain. Every picture speaks 1,000 words. Do we really searching on the content of the picture, or are we searching on the tags on the picture? I think we are searching on the tags of the picture. We are not searching on the content of the picture. When we will change, go just read the picture, give me the picture matches what I'm looking at. It's simple thing. We all collect so much personal data into our mobile phones. You know how much data we hold it. We don't know how to get to the data we have. We have a clueless, how do we get? Is not everyone figured out? I think so. Big guys figured out, but they don't want to change it. They don't want to rock the boat, right? I think there is opportunity here to change how the search should benefit the community and can leverage the quality of search. I think end of the day, we all going for that quality, right? If you want a podcast, reach out to somebody. Who is that guy I want to talk to, right? You don't want to talk to somebody who's marketing, right? I mean, we get how many emails pinged into our inbox every day for business. Poor guys are going, I feel bad of saying no, but I have to say it because we are here, there. They are not doing the really funnel marketing. Where is the right customer? I wish the search engines do that better so that the little guys can help, not throwing everything into one basket, the solutioning it. But I think SEO is a big change needs to done. I talked to somebody 2 weeks ago. Your website speaks what is the weighted keywords in it. Why we have to meddle around, tell what the world wanted. I think that's the fundamentally we are changing how we, if I have a message, my website says a message, my technology can understand what you said. I'm going to spend it. This is the keywords you are really focused in. But Google is not going to like, you have to listen to Google what it can sell. So we are basically working on a manipulative world right now. If you ask me honestly, that's where we are at. Probably we may do it to survive. So, but I think things will change as we go.
So I like to bring some advice for, you know, entrepreneurs and business leaders into this show. So, you know, you've been working on this startup for 4 years. You've had another company for a lot longer. What's some advice for entrepreneurs who want to start a business and want to be able to get the funding and be able to get the business out there, get their product launched, get to profitability? What advice do you have for people out there in the Austin community and beyond who want to start and grow a tech company?
Great question, Tom. I always a solo entrepreneur. That's been hard on me this is my fifth company. You know, startup is the first SaaS platform. I think I've realized that I can't be a one-man army to to do a mammoth product. I think one of the things I advise for the founders or entrepreneurs or anybody out there, you got to stay on what you believe in. You got to have that grit to make it happen. It takes time. It may take a day. It may take 10 years. It may take until your death. It may come to life after you die. We never know, right? But believe in doing it and keep on doing it. I think you will discover. I've discovered. I went through. I always ask for help, but end of the day, nobody is going to help you. You have to help yourself. So how do you? You have to stay strong and keep on doing it. You'll get better every day, and you'll do one thing. Everybody achieved. I think all the if you listen to any successful people, tell you stay on it, stay on top of it, put hard work into it, put heart in it.
Absolutely. So you've lived in Austin for 23 years. The ecosystem of the Austin tech community has changed drastically during that time. I've been here a little bit longer. I've been here 31 years. And, you know, we were a small town 23 years ago and 30 plus years ago. We're no longer a small town. I always make the joke that in 1991, when I moved here, there were 700,000 people in the metropolitan area. There's now 2.4 million people, and we've built one road. So, you know, it's a lot more crowded. It's a lot harder to get around. What are some of the changes that you've seen in the tech scene in Austin?
Oh, this is way go back to 99. Tom, I used to live in Dallas. My wife hated to come to Austin. There was one Indian restaurant, one grocery store here. There is no Indian movie there. My wife loves to see Indian movies.
Hey, a good Bollywood movie is good for anybody.
Yeah, I agree totally. If you are into those, it kind of sucks into your time. But it was a battle for us to initial the days when we moved in. I worked for the state of Texas as a contractor for 16 years. I still question myself, why did I work that long? Killing myself working for the government. You can't really. One of the things is like you want to try to innovate the government, you will get killed yourself. but coming to the point, Austin, when we came, it was a small town. We never liked, even Dallas, moving from Dallas to Austin was nothing. For our community, it was harder. I somewhat convinced my wife, stayed back, and started, you know, job is one of the things. I was an immigrant worker. I didn't have a green card, you know, H-1B employee. It was hard to get out. But I think over the time, how the city, we never even imagined. We used to live in Round Rock. I used to drive down to downtown every day. It was a smooth ride. You know, it's like a 20 minutes go that way, this way. It is one of the coolest towns to live in Texas, right? I mean, how last 5-6 years, things have changed so much. I think it started catching up at 2011, 2012 timeframe. I mean, something, there is only one Dell, right? Technology companies here. Now we see so many tech companies. And one of the interesting things I'll tell people, Austin has most young people, most talented people. This is the town, if you invest well now, you will do an amazing job because there is a future here. I'm not saying other city don't, but where is the young people, like 20 to 30 years old? That town is going to flourish next 15, 30 years. I know, Tom, ATC is going to play a major role. I'm telling you every time when Barbary was there, I was telling you, it's just this ATC should play a major role in this big tech. You got Oracle now, you got, you know, all the big tech is in Austin. There is an opportunity to grow for a small business. Remember, every big business brings thousands of small businesses here. I think this ecosystem is going to get better. I think I can't believe it. Austin has changed so much culturally. But one thing I like about Austin is there is something in this town. If you are visited, you never get out. Sucks you in.
Well, it's very interesting because, you know, when I was a young man moving here in my late 20s, the average age of an Austinite was somewhere around 28 or 30 years old. And now I'm in my, you know, mid to late 50s. The average age of an Austinite is still around 30 years old. So that huge tripling in size has been all these young people moving in. And as you just alluded to, that's a great sign, because as these people stay, and maybe they work for big tech, maybe they work for the government, but if they're entrepreneurial and they want to start their own thing, or they want to join a startup, they get in and, you know, a certain number of those people will flourish and they'll make a lot of money, and then they'll be able to become angel investors and invest in another thing, and et cetera. So the whole ecosystem, and you are right, it used to be there was only a handful of big companies, Dell being the only homegrown one.
Yeah.
Now there's dozens of homegrown large employers and hundreds of larger companies from around the country.
And all the startup community is growing in a lightning speed. I think all these people moving in, and hiring people is, I'm in that industry. Talent acquisition is not an easy thing. Companies go where the talent is there. Talent doesn't come to the companies. How why cities are grow? One is living conditions, the community, the openness, and helping nature. All these community aspects helps the people to stay in one place. Perfect weather. I don't know. I mean, I lived in East Coast early days. I hated to live in cold because I'm not a cold snow kind of person. But
there's not a lot of snow in India, right?
It's not at all. Not at all. That's one of the reasons I stuck with the Texas for a long time. But I love Austin. Austin is, I always tell people, this is a place I live more than any city in my whole life. So both of my kids born here. So I'm glad. I would say I can tell this city I lived in is flourishing now. Its time has come.
So the Austin Technology Council, as I said, we're going into a new phase. We're looking to sort of reinvent and take a new direction, get more of those big companies to become involved and to really be part of that whole ecosystem. You've been involved for a long time. You know, why should people in tech, why should tech companies support groups like the Austin Technology Council?
Because your community is tech focused. One of things my last week call with your employees is one of the reasons came up is Austin Technology Council is made for tech community. Who is simple questions to answer, right? If you are Oracle, be here. Where are you other than ATC? If you want to, a local community, all big firms, I'm telling you, if you're a hardware, software, tech-based community, please invest into ATC. We need you guys. This is the opportunity for the community to grow. We have organizations to cater the tech community. End of the day, it's all about you putting your one hand into it, right? We do. Your participation makes a big change as a community, and it changes so much to give it back. I think I agree with you where I'm glad that you took this role, challenging and doing it. I congratulate you one more time doing it. I think we did it. We are due for this.
Well, my goal is to help the organization become a grassroots organization like it was 30 years ago. And what is the Austin tech community? My belief is it's you, the person who's listening. If you own a tech company, if you manage a tech company, if you work for a tech company, or you're part of the ecosystem because you know you're a solution provider that helps the tech companies boom, each individual is a thread that makes up the tapestry of what is the ecosystem. And therefore, we need to have all of those people coming in to add their voice. So I echo everything that you just said. I think that's great. So as we wrap up this episode, what advice do you have that you wish everybody in tech had if they're trying to grow a business? What's the one thing you think? Why don't people know that?
I think pretty much everybody knows what they want to do. I think a small change is how persistent you are and what you believe in. And also you first starts with, I always believe, you start with yourself believing it. If you don't believe yourself, you can't do any justification to anybody. If you're a tech founder or tech company, if you're not part of ADC, what is the community you're going to give it in Austin, right? There is only one organization that does tech community together. We all need to come together. We may have a differences. That's okay. Nobody is going to fight each other that we have differences. But it comes to technology. Technology is blind. It doesn't see anything. It just do. That's why I go back to the root of search is, search is blind. You give the algorithms and get the data. Same with the technology is too. If you're a tech founder or tech entrepreneur out there watching, please join ADC, support ADC mission to make it big. I think we need you.
Well, thank you for those kind words, and thank you for your advice and sharing your ideas on search and on business and on Austin, because that's what we're all about at the Austin Technology Council. And thank you to everybody who tuned in and listened to this episode of Making Waves at Sea Level. One more question. If people listening wanted to find you, Madhu, how would they find you? Where can they find Unanu, etc.?
Hello at unanu.com. Simple.
Hello at unanu.com, and you'll find your
Unanu
way to him.
Hello too. So thank you, Tom. Thank you for your time. Appreciate on Friday call.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you again to everybody who tuned in and listened. Please subscribe to this show on Spotify, on Apple, or heck, wherever you get your podcast joy. And in the next month or two, be looking out for ATC's new podcast, which will be called Austin Tech Connect. Now, go out there and make waves in business. And while you're doing all that, have some fun along the way. But whatever it is you do, find a way to positively impact the people you encounter every day.
Thank you for listening to the Making Waves at Sea Level podcast. Without your listening to these in-depth conversations, there would be no show. Connect with Tom at tomsinger.com and follow him on Twitter and Instagram at tomsinger.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.